From the Word of God, Genesis chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Abraham, or Abram as he's still called as we begin in this chapter, was 75 years old when he left Haran. You remember that God gave him the direction that he was to leave his family lands. He was to leave his family and everybody he knew, take his wife and those of his household, and go to a land where he would show him. He was 75 years old. He was 86 years old when a son was born to him through Hagar, Sarai's servant girl. But now it's been 15 years since Abram has heard the voice of God. He's waited almost 25 years for the promise to be fulfilled from the first time that God spoke to him and said, I'm going to give you a son, and you'll be the father of many nations. And especially noteworthy, it's been 13 years since he has last had a recorded word of God. And that's the word we read this morning. And what a word that is. What an expression that is, that God speaks to his servant. Now, I'm going to tell you, as Paul Harvey used to say, more than I know. And what that means this morning is that I have looked some of this stuff up in the Hebrew Old Testament and relying on the scholarship and the knowledge of others. And as I said, what a wonderful word this is. In the first three verses that we read this morning, in Genesis 17, there are three different words to describe the one who is speaking. First of all, the Lord appeared to Abram. That word Lord is the word that Moses heard. You remember the day Moses, while he's taking care of the sheep, walks out and he sees a bush that's on fire, but it's not consumed. And he walks close to see what it is, and a voice speaks to him out of the bush and says, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. And in that conversation, God tells Moses that he's to be the one to go back into Egypt and to bring deliverance to God's people. And Moses asks in Exodus chapter 3, what is your name, that I can tell the people who sent me? And God replied, I am who I am. He said, you shall tell the children of Israel, I am has sent you. What a strange answer. I am who I am. And the word Lord there, this is the first time God referred to himself by that as he speaks to Moses. It's used by the writer of Genesis, but the first time it was spoken was to Moses. And it means, I've always been. I'm the God of now. And from that comes the word that God is referred to by the Hebrew people, and it's Yahweh, or the eternal God. Then second, in this passage of Scripture, he says, the writer says, the Lord God Almighty, the Almighty God, spoke. The Hebrew there is El Shaddai, God Almighty. And it occurs only 48 times in the Old Testament. It's found in promises where, in places where God is reporting His promises of fertility and land and abundance, indicating that He, the Almighty, can fulfill His promises. And it comes from a word that means to pour out. In other words, God says, I am the God who pours out blessings, who gives them richly, abundantly, and continuously. And then the third expression of who is speaking comes where he says, God spoke or God talked with them. And that word in Hebrew is Elohim. And it's used 2,600 times in the Old Testament, designating the one true God. And interestingly, it's a plural noun that suggests the Trinity. And you look throughout the Old Testament at places where this word is used, it gives you more of the character of God. It conveys many names, many ideas. In Genesis 5:1, it lets us know that God is creator. This is the book of the genealogy of Abraham. In the day that God created man, This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, He made him in the likeness of God. Psalm 47, verse 3, that we read a moment ago, God is the King. For God is the King, and all the earth shall sing praises with understanding. In Psalm 50, verse 6, let the heavens declare His righteousness, for God Himself is judge. Psalm 86, verse 12, I will praise You, O Lord, my God. With all my heart I will glorify Your name forever. God is the Lord. In Hosea chapter 13, verse 4, God is the Savior. Yet I am the Lord your God ever since the land of Egypt, and you shall know no other God but Me, for there is no Savior beside Me. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 31, God is compassionate. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forget you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which He swore to them. And in Psalm 116, verse 5, God is gracious. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. And one more, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. God is faithful to His covenant. Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations for those who love Him and keep His commandments. I said at the beginning, it's been 13 years since Abram has heard from God. And now when God speaks and breaks the silence, just the names in that passage, if there's some way that Abram knows those names, it would have been enough to have staggered him to his knees or put him face down on the ground. What a God, what mercy, what provision, what blessing, what a word. And that would be word enough. But the blessings of God are boundless. I worked for a man about 50 years ago who had a unique way of describing the blessings of God. He said, God's blessings are full and running over, like a basket of strawberries with big strawberries on the bottom and big strawberries on the top. Now that homey expression, that homey statement is his way of saying God is the all-sufficient God. God is the God whose blessings are boundless. Not just little strawberries, but big strawberries on the top and on the bottom. But God's not finished with Abram. He says, no longer shall your name be called Abram. Your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. You've been called Abram, which means exalted father. From now on, you're going to be called Abraham, father of a multitude. And then a few verses later on, God puts some more strawberries on the bottom and some more strawberries on the top. When he says, and as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, which means princess, any longer, but Sarah, mother of nations, shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she will be a mother of nations. Kings and people shall be from her. Now maybe this is just too much for Abraham, who's a century old. Because the writer of Genesis says, when God repeated this and says what's going to happen with Sarah, he fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a son be born to a man who is 100 years old and to Sarah who is 90 years old? Shall she bear a child? Then God said, Sarah, your wife will bear a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. And then to demonstrate the faithfulness of his covenant, of his promise, God gives Abraham a covenant sign, a guarantee that the promise will come true. And so Abraham and every male in his household are circumcised. That's the sign of the promise. That's the covenant sign that God's going to keep his word. And a few days later, perhaps still sore from the operation, Abraham is met by the Lord and by two heavenly companions. And Sarah's preparing a meal in the fashion of Eastern hospitality, Middle Eastern hospitality. And the Bible lovingly tells about the meal that she's preparing, butter and milk and bread and the main course. And God repeats the promise that Sarah's going to have a son. And Sarah's standing near the door of the tent listening. And when she hears the promise, which to be honest is quite outrageous because Sarah's past the age of childbearing, she laughs. And God hears her laugh and says, why did Sarah laugh? And Sarah's afraid. And she said, I didn't laugh. But God says, yes, you did laugh. And reading those words from Genesis 18 that I just paraphrased, I don't hear anger in God's voice. I hear a smile. I hear laughter. And getting the joke, if you will, God says, okay, name the boy Isaac. And all of you Hebrew scholars out there know that Isaac means laughter. Frederick Buechner, one of my favorite authors, in one of my all-time favorite books, Telling the Truth, the Gospel is Comedy, Tragedy, and Fairy Tale, tells it like this. The old woman's name is Sarah, of course, and the old man's name is Abraham. And they're laughing at the idea of a baby being born in the geriatric ward and Medicare picking up the tab. They're laughing because the messenger not only seems to believe it, but expects them to believe it too. And after the laughter has died down, God asks, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life." In other words, according to the time it takes for a baby to be born, for the gestation and the growth in the mother's womb. "And Sarah shall have a son." And when God returns a year later, He hears the sound of a 100-year-old father bouncing his brand new baby boy on his knee. And the joy of a 90-year-old mother with a baby nursing at her breast. And now we're back where we started. God has made a promise. God has kept His promise. The all-sufficient God who has always been, the one true God, has kept His promise. Yahweh the Lord, the eternal God, God Almighty, El Shaddai, the God who pours out blessings, who gives them richly, abundantly, continually, the one who has His hands on everything. And Elohim, God, the Creator, the King, the Judge, the Lord, the Savior, the compassionate, gracious, and faithful God, has kept His promise. That is a God we can trust. No matter what our circumstances, no matter how strange or how far away His promises may be. And I share this with you this morning as a reminder, God's promises are faithful and true because God is faithful and true. And whatever it is that speaks in your heart this morning, whatever need, whatever joy, the promises of God are true.